1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
I'm sure you've heard that Queen Elizabeth II has died. And some of the things we hear about Queen Elizabeth is, first of all, many people like her and adore her. In fact, currently there, as I preach this sermon, the last I saw, about the line to get to walk past her casket is about 5 miles long. And they're telling people, don't get in the line, but people are still getting in the line. And some of them are going to have to wait some 13 plus hours. Some may not even get to see her at all. We're told that she has a good sense of humor had a good sense of humor. And, you know, we wonder, though, and, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, she's in heaven now. She's in a better place. And we're going to ask a question, actually look at the Bible, what the Bible has to say. You know, we're just going to ask, is the Queen in heaven today? And certainly, we're not going to presume to be God. I'm not God. I'm not her either. I don't know her heart. God, in fact, she didn't even know her heart as well as God knew her heart. But one of the things that we are going to look at is we're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about these issues. One thing you hear, and I really haven't heard this said about Queen Elizabeth, but one thing you hear people say quite often when someone dies, they ask for prayer for their family. But quite often, they also ask for prayer for the person that died. And really, it's too late. Once someone's dead, it's too late to pray for them. You can pray for them before they die. You can tell them about Jesus before they die. You can implore them to repent of their sins. After they're dead, though, it's too late. Whatever has been done has been done. Whatever hasn't been done, hasn't been done. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28, we read, "And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." So here, it has been appointed unto man to die once. But then the judgment. And this, by the way, is for everyone. It doesn't say it's been appointed unto man to die and then the judgment, except if you're the queen, or if you're the king, or if you're the president, or if you're the Speaker of the House, or if you're a wealthy businessman, then you can go to the front of the line. You know, there are a lot of people that aren't waiting in that line to go see the Queen. People that are dignitaries, people that are President Biden has been there, and President Trump is going to be there, and also former President Trump and also former President Obama. You know, but does their presence get her into heaven? The fact that they're showing up, all the other people, are they going to get her into heaven? No, it's appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. So every single person, regardless of their status, regardless of their wealth, regardless of how much they have, it is appointed unto everyone to die, and then the judgment. But we also see good news here. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So the bad news is that, first of all, we're appointed to die. Everyone's going to die. We can't escape death. And after death, we have the judgment. And one thing we'll see later on is that we've all sinned. None of us is perfect. None of us is good enough. And so that's a bad news, but the good news is that Jesus has died, and he's died to bear our sins. If we repent of our sins and place our trust in him, we have hope of salvation. And one of the things that has been said is that, well, Queen Elizabeth has a good sense of humor. And a lot of times in jokes, you hear about Peter being at the pearly gates, and he's the one that's in charge of letting people into heaven. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible actually says that Jesus is the door. We have to get to, if we're going to get to heaven, the only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus. We can't get there through Muhammad. We can't get there through Hare Krishna. We can't get there through being good. We can't get there through any other thing. We can't get there through telling jokes. You know, you think, well, Queen Elizabeth's going to go up to the pearly gates and see Peter, and she's going to crack a joke, and Peter's going to laugh and open the door. That's not the way it works. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible does say that having a merry heart does us good. In Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So we see that there is benefits to having a merry heart, to having a cheery disposition, to even when you're going through some tough times, to still find joy in what you're going through, to still praise God, to still laugh, to still look on the lighter side of things. I'm even reminded of the Apostle Paul when he was beaten. Paul and Silas were beaten. They were thrown into prison and shackled. Instead of murmuring and complaining and grumbling, they actually praised God, and they actually were allowed. There was an earthquake. The doors opened. Their chains fell off. What resulted in that was the conversion of the jailer and his whole household. And that was all because they weren't sulking. They weren't having a pity party. They were being joyful, and they were worshiping God despite their circumstances. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, we read, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So there's a time for sorrow. And in Nehemiah, what is happening is the law of God was being read, and the people realized their sin and they were sorry. But sorrow, the Bible says that godly sorrow produces repentance. And after that repentance, there's a restoration period, and then comes the joy of the Lord. But still, as good as being joyful is, as good as having a merry heart is, it's not going to get us into heaven. And if Queen Elizabeth is in heaven today, it is not because she had a good sense of humor. A good sense of humor isn't going to get you there. Otherwise, if it were, you could just learn how to crack jokes. You could go out and maybe do stand-up comedy. And as you learned how to be funny, well, all you'd have to do is get there and say a joke to Peter, and he'd let you in. You may have heard this story, a very touching story, that Kate Middleton said that Prince Louis shared words of comfort with her after the Queen had died. And he said, "She's with great-grandpa now." So we ask, is Queen Elizabeth with great-grandpa now? And really, we don't know. We're not God, and we're not Queen Elizabeth. We're not great-grandpa either. We don't know their hearts. We're not God, but we don't know where Queen Elizabeth went, really, and we don't know where great-grandpa went. It's assumed by many people, and probably by Prince Louis, that they're in heaven. Many people think that you know, well, this person was a good person. They went to heaven. So we're gonna just ask the question, do all go to heaven? Well, and the Bible actually says in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, here you see Jesus telling the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this was just a parable. It wasn't an actual event, but it was a story that Jesus told to illustrate a principle. And one of the principles that he taught was that there is a place of torment where those who have been wicked go, and there's a place where those who place their trust in God for their salvation go. And at this time, this was actually before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So people weren't necessarily in heaven. Abraham wasn't in heaven. Lazarus, if this was actually a physical account, would not have been in heaven. They were in what was called Abraham's bosom, which I picture as being kind of like an upper chamber of the lower parts of the earth, where really they weren't in torment. They were at peace. They were resting, and they were waiting for that day when Jesus would die on the cross, when his blood would be applied to that heavenly throne or the heavenly altar, and their sins would be bought and paid for. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and King David, the Bible says that Jesus led a host of captives free, and I believe they are the ones, and all those who placed their trust in God in the times past and looked forward to the Messiah, I believe that they're the ones that Jesus led free. But you do see a place of torment and also a place of rest. And in Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 22, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So we see Jesus warning here that, first of all, saying your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Well, how can your righteousness, I mean, these were people that made it a point to show everyone how righteous they were. They went around, they even tithed mint and rue. So they were growing herbs in their garden, and they took a tenth of that to give and to bring as an offering. So even down to the littlest, smallest portions, tithing mint and rue. So we see here them doing this. Unless their righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's a higher standard than mankind here, a higher standard really than the most, at least in an outward form, righteous people of the day, or people that many people looked at as righteous. Jesus said you have to be more righteous than them. But he talks here about heaven. He talks about hell. And he's warning people not to say even certain things like fool, because they could actually go to hell for saying that. So Jesus here wouldn't be warning. He's not a liar. God's not a liar. And Jesus is God. He was God and he is God. He was God, fully God and fully human in the flesh here on earth. And Jesus here is warning that there is a place of where there's hell fire, and you may go there. So there must be a place if Jesus said there must. And then we ask the question, is Queen Elizabeth in heaven because she was so good? And by the way, not everyone believes that she was so good. In fact, some people say, Well, the crown she had on her head, she had jewels that came from other countries. And she got those jewels from oppressing people. Well, I'm not sure whether Queen Elizabeth, I really haven't ever heard of Queen Elizabeth oppressing people, but that's what some people have said. But most people believe that she was good, but is it possible to be good enough to enter heaven? Could Queen Elizabeth have gone up to those pearly gates? And let's say Peter was there. By what standard would Queen Elizabeth be judged? Would she be allowed into heaven because of her good works? In Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 9, we read, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." Now, you understand here that at this time, you were either Jewish or you were considered Greek. So the people that were not Jewish, sometimes in the Bible they're called Greeks, sometimes they're called Gentiles, but they were the people that he's talking about here. So really, he's talking about everyone, no matter who you are. And there were two main divisions of people back then, those who were Jewish and those who weren't. And he says, whether you're Jewish or whether you're not, you are all under sin. You all have sinned. Every one of us has sinned. And one sin, one little lie, one little violation, one little taking of God's name in vain, one little not honoring your father or your mother, one little theft, stealing, one little lie can get you, it's enough to get you into hell. And we all have violated God's commandments many times. We are all sinners. In verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. So there is none righteous, no, not one. Earlier, Jesus said, your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And here we learn that there is no one that is righteous. No, not one. The only one that has ever lived on this earth that has been righteous, that has been good enough to get into heaven, was Jesus, because he was sinless. He was someone that came down to this earth and lived a sinless life. And so there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. So apart from God seeking us, we are not even capable of seeking God. And I'm mindful of the Apostle Paul when he was Saul and he was on the road ready to having the authority to arrest Christians and put them into jail and put them on trial. He was even at the feet. He was there when Stephen was stoned for being a Christian, and he was in approval of that. And the Apostle Paul was on his way to arrest Christians, and God sought him out, and God met him, and God blinded him, and God actually showed him, revealed himself to him, and called Paul unto himself. And Paul then was then a seeker of God. So it's only when God first seeks us and gives us the ability to turn that we are able to turn and to seek him. So we see this here. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. So is Queen Elizabeth, was she good enough to get into heaven? No. Are you good enough to get into heaven? No. Am I good enough to get into heaven? No. None of us will get there because we're good. You see, there are people that are trying to be good enough to get to heaven. And they want, you know, you can't go to church enough. You can't say enough prayers. You can't walk enough old ladies across the street. And let me be perfectly clear, because one time I was preaching on this and someone took exception and they said, "You're against walking old ladies across the street." No, I'm not against walking old ladies across the street. It's something that is good to do. But don't think that you're going to get to heaven because you walk old ladies across the street. You can't be good enough for God. None of us measures up to his standard. Verse 13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. The Bible speaks a lot about the power of the tongue. And here we see poison of asp under their lips, deceitfulness in their mouth, their throat being an open tomb. When we speak out words, we actually speak either blessings or cursings. And every one of us, no matter how good we are, have all been guilty of saying things that we should not have said, and sometimes saying mean and hurtful things to other people, or being deceitful, lying. And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. One of the things I think that if we could actually summarize what we see happening in our culture, in much of our culture, you'll see this, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Why does a young man go into a school with weapons and shoot people that don't have weapons? Because there's no fear of God in his eyes. Why does someone go into a mall and open fire and shoot innocent people? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Why do people fornicate? Why do people commit adultery? Why do people commit homosexual acts? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Why do people take their preborn children into an abortion clinic and pay the abortionist to rip their babies limb from limb, or to give them medication that will cause the baby to die and that will cause a violent labor so that that baby is delivered by the, so that the mother actually delivers that baby, maybe in her own toilet, because there's no fear of God before their eyes. We are sinful. Every one of us is sinful. And we need to realize, apart from God's grace in our life, every one of us could be a Jeffrey Dahmer. Every one of us could be a Hitler. Every one of us is capable of vile actions. And we constantly need to be bowing before God's throne, imploring him for his grace and his mercy, and to have mercy upon us. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So here you see the standard. You see, a lot of people want to measure themselves against other people. They want to say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as Ted Bundy was. I haven't raped women and killed them. Well, you know, I'm not as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer because I haven't killed anyone and eaten them lately. Well, I'm not as bad as Hitler was. So I'm a pretty, you know, compared to Hitler, compared to Jeffrey Dahmer, compared to Ted Bundy, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, that's not the standard. I'm reminded of the time I was in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children. And the man told me, one of the inmates told me that he was a good man. He was good because he actually didn't do anything wrong. All he did, he didn't steal from people. All he did was steal from corporations. Well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not steal from people, but it's okay to steal from corporations. Never occurred to the guy that people own the corporation, that people work at the corporation, that people use the goods or services of the corporation, and the corporation is going to have to charge them more money to make up for the theft of the person that was only stealing from corporations. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not steal from corporations. The Bible says thou shalt not steal. And that man was comparing himself to someone that's going out and stealing from an individual and saying, well, I'm not that person, so I'm not all that bad. Well, God doesn't allow us to compare ourselves to other people and to come up with these ideas where we can make ourselves look like we're good or we're better than someone else. The Bible actually says that we are sin. The law is here to show us that we are sinners, to show us that we are guilty, to show us that we need a Savior. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Even the person that goes to church every day, even the person that says prayers all day, even the person that helps old women across the street, even Queen Elizabeth II was a sinner in need of a Savior. And if she is in heaven today, it is only because the blood, it is only because she repented of her sins and asked for the blood of Jesus to be applied to wash away her sins. In verse 21, we see the good news because we know that the wages of sin is death, but it doesn't end there. It says the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And here we see, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So every one of us has sinned. We've fallen short of His glory. We don't match up. We don't meet the standard. And Queen Elizabeth didn't meet the standard. I don't meet the standard. You don't meet the standard. If Queen Elizabeth is in heaven, it is not by her own righteousness or her own goodness. If I get to heaven, it won't be because of my righteousness. If you get to heaven, it won't be because of your righteousness. It will be only if we repent of our sins, if we cry out to God, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we ask Him, if we place our trust in Him and cry out to Him for salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins, and we are then allowed to go into heaven, not by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
New Jerusalem.